How many times have you checked social media today? Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, or even just your text messages? Probably too many times if you ask Tim Ferriss. He's the Silicon Valley entrepreneur who wrote The 4-Hour Workweek and Tools of Titans, The Tactics, Routines, and Habits of Billionaires, Icons, and World-Class Performers. He also hosts the Tim Ferriss Show podcast, and he's become a big advocate of social media fasting. He joins us via Skype from San Francisco. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So first of all, explain this idea. What is a social media fast?
Social media fast is a fast, I suppose, like any other. In this case, you're simply giving up, whether it be a device or a particular type of social media site. And I do this at least once weekly. I have screen-free Saturdays, which are effectively electronics-free, which of course includes social media. And then more generally speaking, you could use something like the Facebook newsfeed eradicator, which is an extension for Chrome, to prevent you from accessing the crack cocaine that is your newsfeed on Facebook. But really the intention is to help you bolster yourself to be more resilient in an economy, online at least, that is based on distraction.
Well, why do you think that social media has become so damaging for us, and yet everyone wants to use it all the time?
Well, it's designed much like a pellet dispenser in a Skinner box to incentivize you to click on things. And once you realize, and I've worked in tech, I live in Silicon Valley, I'm involved with a lot of the largest social media companies, that the economics of what they do are predicated on distracting you from your primary task. You realize that you're being conditioned to become reactive. And I think that whenever you feel reactive or being reactive as opposed to proactive, doing the things you've set out to do, that inherently, consciously or subconsciously, creates a lot of stress. And whether it's social media fasting or reading Stoic philosophy or doing other types of literal fasting with very little or no food, for instance, my goal is always to act proactively and inoculate myself against the whims of fortune, as it were. But when you're directed by social media, I think it's very easy to lose a sense of agency, and you can see it. I mean, you go into any subway station, you walk down any street in a city, you will see 70-80% of the people staring into their phones as they walk or stand.
Well, and the other thing that you've pointed out as well is that there's a negativity on social media, especially Twitter, I would say, but Facebook as well, and maybe some of the other platforms as well. There's a negativity there that really weighs on you.
There is. And the brilliant aspect, or one of the brilliant aspects of the internet, is that every genius has a voice, whether they're in New York City or in a rural village in Africa. But every idiot also has a voice. And the fact of the matter is that negativity in general rules. It really is Lord of the Flies, in a sense, online. And if you are, let's just make the assumption that you're the average of the five people you associate with most. If you are constantly subjected to and bombarded by negativity, then you will average down to that level. And I've seen this certainly in the election cycle, post-election, that people who are normally very optimistic in my social circles, who are spending inordinate amounts of time online, are becoming very negative, very cynical. And that is not empowering, to be responding to every person who in real life you would never have a debate with.
How much do you think that Donald Trump has affected the world of social media? Because he uses it all the time, and he uses it in a different way than certainly we've seen politicians use it in the past.
I think that he's been very intelligent in many respects in how he's used social media, and he's been able to get billions, probably tens, maybe hundreds of billions of free media impressions from people who claim to dislike him. So there is a certain Jedi mind trick genius to it. But if I am in a world with, say, political saturation or religious saturation, any debate where the opposing side, let's say, in any argument is not going to change their minds. There's no data you could provide to either side that is going to convince anyone to change their positions, then I opt out. So in any political cycle, not just limited to President Trump, I tend to take a time out and come back when the dust has settled somewhat.
So how long should a social media fast last?
I would encourage people to try one day as a starting point.
And nothing in that whole day. You can't look at Facebook, you can't look at Snapchat, anything.
Nothing. And if you can't go that long without social media, then it's very indicative of a problem. And this is like a heroin addict who needs methadone, right? And for a lot of people, it will feel like a three-day vacation because they won't even have realized that their new normal is as reactive and stressful as it is. It's just a low-grade anxiety that follows them all day, so it's become their new normal. And when they take away the social media, for even 24 hours, I recommend a screen-free Saturday, for instance, where you don't use any computers, and if you use your phone, use it only for texting, no apps that are social media-related. You could use an Uber or something like that to pick you up, but otherwise, no social media. And it is incredible what a psychological relief it is and how much recovery it allows people to have. So I would say screen-free Saturdays, start with that.
Some people may be surprised to hear you saying this because, of course, you have built a big business on your brand and you've certainly had some success because of your presence on social media.
Well, not just that. I mean, my primary financial career has been investing in technology. And I was an early investor in Facebook, Twitter, Alibaba, Duolingo, Uber, as pre-seed advisor. That's been my career. And I am very proud of that in many, many respects because these are tools that can be used to incredible means and have been used in political activism and otherwise, but they make fantastic tools and a terrible master. And I think that is the delineation that we have to make. You know, are you using your technology or is your technology using you? And there is a point where an enabling behavior becomes a compulsive and then disabling behavior. And we've already crossed that chasm. It's just astonishing to me, but not surprising in some respects, how dependent we are on the somewhat meaningless and certainly ephemeral feedback that we get from strangers on the internet. I think that's a dangerous dependence to develop.
As you mentioned, you've been involved with some of the biggest companies in Silicon Valley. Do you believe that we're in a tech bubble right now, as some do?
I think that we always go in boom and bust cycles. I have not been investing for 2 years because the signal to noise ratio had become very difficult for me as an individual without a fund and a firm behind me. But I think that question may be above my pay grade, but I'm not worried about whether we're in a bubble or not. The good companies will survive. The good entrepreneurs will remain. And then when there's blood in the streets at some point, could be soon, it will happen eventually. Then that's when I will re-enter the scene, pick up some of the pieces, and invest in the diehard entrepreneurs who remain instead of the fair weather entrepreneurs who came in when everything seemed safe.
That sounds like you're saying we're in a bubble.
Well, I will say those are your words, not mine. But I will say we've had it good for a very, very long time. And I find it hard to believe that that will last forever. Since I've been through two cycles already in Silicon Valley myself, having moved here in 99, 2000, there is a natural ebb and flow to these things. And we've had the fatted calf for a very long time now.
One more thing, Tim Ferriss. How do you think the tech world is handling Donald Trump?
Poorly. I think the tech world, there are some who are, I think, looking at it in a long-term, proactive and positive way. The vast majority of people in tech or who surround themselves by people in tech are being very reactive and I think focusing on the negative. And certainly you can choose to do that. But ultimately, I think it's important to recognize that as president of the United States, he has the power to affect positive change if he so chooses. I wish more tech leaders would focus on how they could help inform those potential decisions and steer the ship 1 or 2 degrees or more in a direction that they view as positive, as opposed to simply complaining on the internet.
So you think it was a good thing that they all flew out to New York and met with him at Trump Tower?
Absolutely. I do, 100%. I don't see the upside to opting out of – I think it would be irresponsible to try not to affect change in this administration.
That's Tim Ferriss, who is the host of the Tim Ferriss Show podcast and author of the new book, Tools of Titans. Tim, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.